The Grow My Cleaning Company podcast helps owners of cleaning companies just like you to grow your company and yourself so you can make more money and finally get the time and money freedom that probably got you into this business. Discover how to automate and create systems that allow you to grow like crazy without losing control. If you dig the show and want to show some love, subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes. It really helps. Enjoy the show.
Question: how do I make my employees better? That's a big one. How do I communicate in a positive way? We need to get faster without coming off as naggy. That's a much better. You can see the difference in the question quality. How do I make my employees better? I have no idea. Just do the stuff. I'll give you an equally crappy answer. Do the things we teach you. You're like, well, that's not very specific. I'm like, I know. And then she immediately corrected with a very good question. How do I communicate in a way that helps them go faster without being a nag? I just want you guys to see how much better that the answer to the second question is going to be, because it's such a better question. Forget who said it, but if you get the question right, the answer is almost always easy. So put 80% of your time in the question, answer becomes easy. So it's a really good question. I love the Socratic method, i.e. asking questions. So instead of being like, hey, Ellen, I'm going to pick on Jessica because she hasn't talked all day and, you know, she can't just be here and not get picked on. Jessica complained again. She said the thing sucks and, you know, Jessica's not crazy, so you need to do a better job and blah, blah. Like, again, that sing-songy, whatever, naggy thing. Just going to ask questions. So, hey, Ellen, you are a bright and talented lady. You know as well as I do, there's 1,000 jobs that you could take your efforts to. My understanding is you're here because you love having fun and making money and being real and helping out. Is that the case? So I'm going to start with encouraging them, letting them know I see that they're valuable and they could work other places, and make sure that they're here because, and they're like, no, I'm just here for the paycheck. I don't like any of those values. They suck. Oh, well, now we need to part friends and free her up to go find one of those other great jobs. She's like, no, that is exactly what I love. I love the culture. I'm down with our cause. This is what I want. Awesome. I thought that was the case. I was hoping that was the case. Jessica called and was unhappy with the cleaning. Notice I didn't say it was bad or no judgment, just a thing that happened in the world. Jessica called and was unhappy. I'm not going to get into the details. She said that she left the thing and you didn't clean. Like, I'm not getting into that crap. I'm not even going to say she's right or she's wrong, because that's where they're going to want to go. Well, you want them to go faster. I won't pick on Jessica anymore. So you want to have fun, make money, be real, and help out, right? Right. Good. So let's walk through it. We have a standard of, you know, for Jessica's house, 1.5 hours, and it took you guys 2.5 hours. Because keep in mind, if your standard is 1.5 hours and it took some 1:40, I'm going to give it a couple times and just see, right? That's not a big deal. And by the way, are you confident, Ellen, you're giving them reasonable times? Not the time you could clean it in, and if everything was perfect and everyone went wrong and nobody talked to them and everything lined up, a real actual, I've got a trainee sometimes, and sometimes the person talks to me, and sometimes we forget some supplies, and like how things actually work. Are you giving them enough real time?
I've added like 1/2 hour onto what I would do.
Okay. And again, guys, gals, if you do a good job hiring cleaners, sometimes they'll be faster than you. So I wouldn't just be like, unless you feel like I am strong and fast and holy crap, do I get a job, then I would add, but I wouldn't just for everybody. I would be like, okay, Ellen said add 1/2 hour, and Mike said yes. So that's the plan. Not the plan. It is a reasonable thing if you're like, I am very fast and I don't think anyone can do it. And again, when you could do on a perfect day, or yeah. So, all right. If you feel calm, always before you start grinding on the employees, make sure you're given a reasonable task, or you're going to just keep burning people out that are good people. Okay. So this conversation I'm going to role play with you or give you, Ellen, is assuming that it should take 1.5 hours, and they're not taking 1:40. They're taking 2:15. Like, it's a real thing. Okay. So you're here because you can make money anywhere. You're here because you want to have fun, make money, be real, help out. Yeah. Yeah. Good. Cool. Let's talk through that. I noticed on the last couple houses, so I still wouldn't do it on one house. I'd want for like a whole week's worth of, like, you know, we had you down for 16 hours worth of work and it took you 23. Are you and your partner trying? I'm probably gonna have it together if they've been together. Cause they're going to blame the other person anyway. So might as well have the person here as opposed to, you know, have any gossip going on. Well, we couldn't, they're going to start with, hold on, no judgment here, Ellen. I'm not mad. I just want to have a conversation. So let's just talk through it. Do you think you'll make more money or less money taking longer? Well, I think we might make more because, you know, it takes longer. Okay, so what I hear you saying is you want more hours. Do you think you'll get more hours if you do a slow job or a fast job? Mm-hmm. Probably a fast job. Yeah, I think you're probably right. When it comes time to bonus, you know that's one of the things we bonus on, right? Yeah, okay. So probably make more money trying to either communicate that you think it's an unreasonable standard or keep I don't know if you make more money doing that, but at least you could do it. If you keep the standard, we can agree you'll make more money. Yeah, I would make more money. Okay. And what about helping out? Do you think you're helping the client, the business, each other, if things are taking 30, 40, 50, 60% longer? So I'm going to clarify, it's their values. Cause if it's my, that's where you sound like a nag. Ellen, you keep your room a mess and I don't like your room and this is my house and I want, no one's going to respond to that. Ellen, how do you feel when your room's messy? Fine. Okay. Now we've got a core values clash. That's a different kettle fish. But when you're like, it makes me sick, I feel bad about myself. Hey, Ellen, how do you feel? Well, do you want to feel bad about it? No, I don't want to. What do you think we can do so you can feel good about yourself? I should clean my, like when it's your idea and your momentum, it's so much easier for me to be able to coach and lead you as opposed to doing that. You should do this and it should take, and I want this. So when you talk about what you want, it doesn't work. But when you talk about their values, that's what you have to start with. These are your values, right? Yeah, these are my values. Okay. And then just ask them how the thing that they're doing stacks up to the values that they say that they have. And the cool thing is if it is their value, they will snap back to it. Like once I get like, shit, I do want to make money and I do get, I'll make more money doing it. I'll start going faster. If it's not my values, I won't snap to it, but then that's a core values issue, not a I'm taking too long issue.
Okay.
Does that give you the tools that you need for that conversation?
Yeah, that's super helpful. I'm going to listen back to the recording too. I just feel like that's a good skill to have, like not nagging. Cause I feel
if you ask questions, it's hard to nag.
Yeah.
Especially if they're curious questions. So you can do leading questions. Hey, Marty, I'll pick on Claire. Hey, Claire, obviously, don't you think it's a fool's errand to do all these one-time jobs? And what kind of idiot would do that? Not a question I'm talking about. That's not a Socratic. That's a statement wrapped in, what do you think? A real question would be, let's say I wanted to be a good coach as opposed to the a-hole I am with perfect thing with Claire. I could do what I did, which is helpful. What would have been better would be, gosh, you're not stupid, Claire. Why do you take those jobs? Well, you know, I feel like it would help my schedule go better. Is it helping your schedule go better? Yeah, it helped them go great. Tell me about that. Like, I would just keep asking her questions until she's like, wait a second, my life sucks. Because as soon as Claire decides it, it's the goddamn truth. When I say it, you know, who knows? I'm crazy. So I would ask curious questions, not judgmental questions. So curious question would be like, don't you think if I say it should take an hour and a half, it should take an hour and a half? Judgmental question. Curious question. Do you think you'll make more money doing it in the time that I set out or the time you guys are taking? Do you think you'll have more fun? Do you think so? You get the difference between judgy questions and curious questions?
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense.
Cool. Try it out. It's a lot of fun. Real quick, Cleaning Nation, if you can think about how you found out about this podcast, maybe a tweet, a Facebook message, iTunes search, some sort of Instagram post, the only way we grow is word of mouth. We don't do paid ads. We don't run ads. You are it. The only ask I have is if you're getting value, share the love. However you found out about this, if it's a review or post, whatever it is, do that. Pay it forward so the next cleaning company owner can change their life as well. Back to the show. All right, questions. One, when the cleaner applies, they don't know when or where the group interview is, and then we just sign them up for the next group interview very accountably, and they may or may not be ready, willing, and able to show up to that group interview. Is that right? No, I don't do anything. If they don't show up to the first interview, that's just the end of that for me.
I'm sorry, I'm a bad writer, but basically from the applicant perspective, all they did was applied for a job online, and next thing they know, they're signed up to show up at this interview at a certain day and time, because we just signed them up on Calendly.
I would say invited, because from their perspective, I don't know if they know anything about Calendly. They're just getting automated invites, so they're invited to the next step, which is a group interview. So yeah, I think there's a little nuance with signed up. Like, I could see where that'd be offensive, but they're not. They're invited. Like,
I see.
They are signed up. So, like, they can show up or not show up.
Okay. All right. That sounds good.
Like, why would you apply for a job if you didn't want to be invited to the, or like, you know, the hope, if you hit apply, is what's the next step and did I make it? And the answer is, here's the next step and you made it. So they should feel pretty good about the process.
Oh, sure. Sure. That makes sense. Okay. Great.
Yeah. Obviously, if you're knocking on doors and be like, hey, you come to the group interview, we'll see you at noon in, you know, as a stranger, that's different. But if they applied, I think there's some context around good news. Next step is this. And the good thing is, guys, gals that feel a little weird about group interviews, there are lots of the big companies, anyone like Verizon or someone that has to hire hundreds and hundreds of people a month or thousands, they all do group interviews first. So it's not weird. I mean, they may feel weird about it or not, but just so you know, it's very common for anyone that's like, how can you do otherwise? Right. Like, I was actually, I don't know if Claire's here. I had to leave her a voice message because I couldn't communicate it about the difference, or not the difference, but some of the nuance between hiring cleaners and hiring admin. Because it's such a, like, with like salespeople and customer happiness managers and schedulers, I put like 90% of the emphasis on the working interview because it's so much more information than anything else. With cleaners, we can't do that because it's just not logistically reasonable to have 37 group interviews, you know, 37 working interviews, which would be perfect if you really need to make a good choice, but logistically impossible. So we kind of have to wait more of the group interview and the one-on-one interview just so we narrow down the working interview to people that are likely to win. Whereas if you, yeah. So the process, even if you're like, I'm not going to do a group interview for my schedule, I'm like, that's okay. Like you can or not, it's a different thing. So this process is really for, we need to hire the same person over and over in large quantities. And if people get butthurt about it, then that's a great indicator. They might not be a fit, right? If they're like, I don't like the way you do the interview process. Like, thank you so much for disqualifying yourself immediately. Cause we literally have 87 apps. So one down, 86 to go, moving on.
Yeah. Okay. Beautiful. No, that totally makes sense. I did not realize that larger companies did group interviews or anything. So I've never been in corporate America. So this is really helpful.
Yeah, me neither. This is what I get from books and other stuff. I don't think I've ever been in a group interview because I would never apply for that kind of a job. But it is, I don't say commonplace, but certainly for, again, if it's a like a Verizon where they've got a call center and they've got 300 people and they're constantly hiring, absolutely group interview. Like, how could you otherwise? Okay. Question two, the cleaner hiring process doesn't say what to do for the working interview. Clean some daggum toilets. Your recommendation, clean toilets. Main purpose and yellow red flags to be working for. Really the best thing you can do is question. I mean, first of all, just how they show up. Like if you say you don't get any interview thing, but you get to do the job with a guy for 2 weeks, I'm like, oh, my hit rate's going to be 80%. If not higher. I mean, 90% for admin, you know, for cleaners, you never can tell 80%, but very high. So again, you should not be obviously conducting the working interview. That should be your cleaners training cleaners. And just feedback in terms of what questions they ask is always a good indicator, because asking no questions, red flag. Asking a bunch of questions that are just inane, red flag. Asking questions and not taking action on the answer. Like, you know, what's this red stuff for? We only use it for floors, and then they use it for something different. That's a red flag. Green flags are asking good questions like, ooh, I would like to work. Just literally going, this guy doesn't seem like a pain in the ass. And that's the beautiful thing about the cleaners working with cleaners. It's kind of like, is this a human being that you think would, and the cool thing about core values is I could probably have one of you guys hire any one of our staff because you know what we're like and who we are. And I would just be like, here's the outcome they need to get. And they need to be a fit to the community. I trust every one of you guys could be like, I can do that. So did they answer a question? Or was that too general?
Yeah. And then more specifically, are they paid during that working interview?
Yes. 1000%. Yes. So the only reason we train working interviews as opposed to just hiring them is to save, especially for a company your size. If, you know, say you've got a team of 60, you don't want 496 W-2s at the end of the year because they worked 1 hour, 6 hours. And then there's all that, depending on the state that you're in. Once they're hired, there's some liability that you may not want. Oh, like he fired me because I'm pregnant. It's like, no, I fired you because you showed up drunk the first day. Like, but this can still be a lawsuit. And if you never hired them, different exposure. If you're in a place where your labor attorney says, no, if they're working for 1 second, you got to hire them, or your workers' comp won't cover them if they're not hired, I would hire them. It's not that big of a deal. But I would tell them, this first 2 weeks is for both of us to find out if this is a good fit. And in my mind, emotionally, for my scheduler, for whoever's dealing with it, I wouldn't be like, this guy's locked until we've worked with them for 2 weeks. So the working interview, of course, is paid, but I think it's either $600 that you can pay someone without W-2ing them or 1099 or anything. You could literally pay them in cash. Like there's no paperwork required. And again, for all of y'all, talk to a labor lawyer. I don't know anything about that shit. I'm very good at business, but when it comes to the laws of the land on employment, I'm by no means an expert. Okay. Good on that one.
Got it. Two more questions if that's okay.
Always okay, baby.
What's your meeting cadence again? You say weekly meetings. Are those like one giant phone call or literally in person?
Okay, so let me give the global and then I'll specifically get into weekly meetings. Weekly meetings, monthly parties, quarterly reviews. And I would for sure do quarterly reviews year one. If you feel after doing the quarterly reviews, you would prefer doing thrice annually reviews, that cadence is okay too. Two is too few and five is too many. So, and for year one, I would always do quarterly just to get the rhythm and kind of for you and for everybody. So I wouldn't do three a year my first year. But after your first year, if you're like, I think three is better, and you wanted to test that, I wouldn't fight you. So 3 to 4 time, and I like it. And honestly, the only time I'd fight you and be like, you want a quarterly is like 2 years ago at COVID when they were like paying people to stay home and it was really tough to get labor and the competitive rate was going up very quickly. I would want a fast cadence of raises because the cost of living and the cost of labor is going up so quickly. I'd want that to be done in 3 months, not 4. So little nuance there. So quarterly reviews, monthly parties, and the parties are not work. You do not pay for them. It is okay if the first 1, 2, even 3 parties, very few people come to. Like, it takes a while to build momentum, right? So it is okay. And don't look at it as I failed and, you know, I got 60 people and 4 showed up and I'm a loser. I would look at it as I'm going to try and make this, their experience so good that there'll be 14 next time and their experience so good, there'll be 40 next time. So don't judge the show up rate for the first 1, 2, or 3 and just love the people that are in front of you, right? Like Jesus made a whole movement off of 12. He pretty much spent time with 12 dudes, 3 really intimately. So if he can do that 2000 years ago with 12 dudes, 6 guys show up to our group interview, we can sort that thing out, right? Okay. So for the weekly meetings, I really like doing them in person. How many people are on your team?
Well, right now it's almost entirely subs and we're just launching into W-2s now. So, but I'd the still, problem is geographically, we are typically,
we'll get to that second. I get it. We'll get to those. So as long as it's legal, because sometimes like if you make them come to a meeting now, they're not just like, obviously don't break the law, but as long as it was legal, I'd still have that weekly meeting subs or not. I do pay for the weekly meetings just again, not because it's, I don't know if it's illegal or not illegal to pay. I don't know, but I just do it because I think it's the right thing to do. Don't pay for the parties because they're optional and there really should be no business conducted. It should just be fun. And then the quarterly reviews, I would pay for that. And the cool thing is guys, these meetings should be at least 15 minutes. They really shouldn't be more than 40. So this isn't a big, like heady thing. And you really want like 5, 10, 15 minutes of housekeeping or business, so to speak, at the most, and then 20-30 minutes. And again, the bigger team is, they're going to be 40-45 minutes just because hopefully people are excited and they want to share and there's a bunch of energy. A lot of it should just be sharing core values, like, hey, I saw Sasha, you know, she was my partner yesterday and I was kind of having a bad day, but she really exemplified the core values, the fun, have fun core value, and it made me feel good. And you know, Cindy would be like, hey, I want to nominate Tim. I saw him, he really works hard. I saw him picking up our own shop just because he need to. And I don't think he thought he was watching. Like that kind of core value sharing should be the bulk of it. It's like celebrations, core value sharing, and people bragging on each other. And then the like meeting piece of it should be 5 to 15 minutes. And the temptation, Marty's probably the only guy just starting, but there's other guys just starting. The temptation with the weekly meetings is your first one. You're like, you've been saving up all this stuff and you're like, I'm going to settle your I have crap to talk about for you. And it's this huge long thing. Rein yourself in, just literally pick 1 or 2, even if you got a list of 7, just be like, we're going to meet every week. So just chunk it out. So they feel like the meeting's, you know, 5 to 15 minutes, 20 minutes of core values and loving each other and getting everyone fired up, and then send them out with a, you know, ready to roll.
So basically 45 minutes or less.
Yes. And the goal would not be 45 minutes. And if it's 45 minutes, it should be a ton of fun. Like people are just so excited to share and participate that you're, and you're having to cut them off. Like, oh man, Tim, I'm dying to hear your celebration. Alini, I know you're here. Adon, I promise we'll put you first tomorrow, but we're at 45 minutes and we got to get this thing. We got to get a show on the road. So that kind of energy would be 40 minutes. If it's kind of dead, 15, 20 minutes and let's call it.
Okay. All right. Interesting. All right. Thank you.
And it'll just help you because for most of us, you'll have ideas throughout the week and some of which will never get shared. Some you'll write down and be like, I got to talk to this guy. Some you'll slack immediately. When you kind of force yourself to be like, I just got my meeting agenda. I don't even share it with the team. It's just for me. So every time I've got a good idea or what I think's a good idea, I just pop it on as opposed to slacking someone, which would drive them nuts. Cause I'm so ADHD. They're like, it's enough input. Like I make a list and then by the first of the next meeting, two of these were solved off the list. Whoa, now that I slept on it for a second, maybe it's probably good I didn't send that to, you know, whoever and like stress her out. And here's the 3 things that I really do want to talk about. And only 1 or 2 is important. So I'll put number 3 on next week's, but you start building that practice. Okay. It's really is good for you as it is for the team.
Okay. Thank you.
Well, here we are, the end of the podcast and you made it. Great job.
I've got a little bonus for you before for sticking through with me. But like I mentioned before, if you got value out of this podcast and you want to show a little love, subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes, Spotify, wherever the heck you're listening to this thing. Share with a friend. Share the love. And as a special thank you for those of you that stuck with me to the end, how about I give you my personal phone number so we can text? It's a great way for me to get to know you, your business, your goals personally. So shoot me a text now, 602-932-6431. 602-932-6431. I am the only one who responds to these texts, and I will personally respond to everyone I possibly can as long as this number is manned. Don't know how long we're going to keep this at the end of the podcast, so grab it now, 602-932-6431. Give me a text, say hey, can't wait to meet you.